At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 124 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official comicbook.com podcast about Pokemon. I did that one backwards today because I got a little lost. I'm Jim Viscardi, one of your hosts, joined by Christian Hoffer, Megan Peters. You know him, you love him. We got some news today. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We always gripe a little bit that news usually comes after we record the show. News will probably still happen after we record the show, but today, we got something that we've been talking about for a while. It's finally here. We're going to talk about the Pokemon trading card game online thing, but that'll happen a little bit in just a little bit. But if you're new to the show, welcome. This is a show where we go through really the biggest Pokemon news of the week, and then we take a quick little break, and then we go in and we dissect some of the biggest items that we want to talk about. We're going to talk about, like I said, the trading card game. We're going to talk about Pokemon Unite coming to mobile, that whole, you know, all that stuff. And then at the very, very end, Christian gives us a Pokemon fact of the week to make you a better, smarter Pokemon fan. And you can also watch this show live. You can watch this show on Twitch, twitch.tv/comicbook, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 Central, 5 to 6 p.m. ish across the pond. Get involved. We have a crew here that you know, mostly comes pretty much every week now, which is great, right? You know, we got Rankin and we've got Calder, a whole bunch of folks here in the chat. Ruse Bane, a whole bunch of fun folks. You can definitely come along and hang out. All right, well, let's jump into it. I apologize for those who may be watching live. I have a new setup, and so there's a light right behind me, so I may blind you from time to time.
Ah!
that big glowing light. Your homeboy got a new standing desk, and let me tell you, he feels great with it. It is 2:07 in the morning Australia time. Shay Lucknow, wow, watching from Australia. Love to see it. Love to see it. All right, well, let's get started. It is Fashion Week in Pokemon Go.
It is.
It's
everyone's favorite time of year. Time to spend money on those your digital designer clothing.
So
what do we got this year, Christian?
I have to say, so the big thing coming is Furfru is coming to Pokemon Go. They are also introducing a form change mechanic to the game as a part of this, because Furfru has, I believe, 9 different forms, and you can change those forms for the low, low cost of 25 Furfru candies. So the interesting thing is, because we have to do the stupid, you know, region exclusives, some of those forms will only be available in certain regions. So,
of course,
a total of 3 of the forms will be available everywhere. The debutante form, they're calling it, they're trims, because, you know, they're not really forms, they're trims, because they do haircuts. So the debutante trim will only be available here in the Americas. The diamond trim will only be available in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. The star trim is the Asia Pacific specific trim. And then we have 3 trims that are only available to certain countries. The Pharaoh trim is in Egypt. The Kabuki trim is in Japan, and there's a trim, Le Rem, La Ren. I don't know. I don't speak French, but that one will only be available in France.
You just have to say it like it sounds like it's French. Le Rem.
Yeah, just like channel your inner Ratatouille, and I feel like it'll be fine.
I'm sorry, France. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, we don't have any French listeners.
You don't know that. We probably do. We have someone who is watching in Australia right now. What do you mean? Calder's French. See?
Is he French? Is he French descendant? Canadian. Or is he French Canadian? That's the big question.
Oh, okay. Well,
oh boy. All I want is escape brigaded by all of our French listeners.
Like, he's French Canadian. I knew it.
That's not any lesser of a Frenchman.
That's right.
You know, anyways. Hey. Listen, I know you just dropped the last consonant and the I get the gist of speaking French. I'm not very good at it because I have a dirty American tongue. Anyways, we're also getting some costumed Pokemon. The highlight is definitely like Sneasel. Like it is Beat Poet Sneasel. He's got a little beanie. He's got the black sunglasses. He looks like
he's from the Goofy movie, right? Or whatever, the Max movie where Goofy's son is like doing poetry
with that
poetry girl.
That's exactly what it is. Butterfree is getting a form. Butterfree's form, I believe, is just a bow. And Blitzel he's wearing a collar. Blitzel is wearing a collar. So those are our Pokemon. If you missed any of the Fashion Week Pokemon from last year, like Smoochum, Shinx, and Krogunk, those are all coming back now.
Do they have a designer partner this year?
I don't believe they do.
Oh, well, that's because in other news, like apparently Balenciaga is teaming up with Fortnite.
I don't know what that is, Jim.
It's a designer line. It's a designer.
Balenciaga? Yeah.
Okay.
Fancy, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But hey, wasn't it more lounge fly than you could ever possibly afford.
Last year? Who was it last year? I know they did something with North Face at one point.
Yeah. Either Gucci or maybe it was like Louis Vuitton. It was like one of those.
They definitely did do Louis one year. As well, and I don't know. That whole thing. I mean, I get it, right? The fashion companies are paying probably an exorbitant amount of money for that kind of placement. Because I can't imagine Niantic is like, hey, can we license that? Like, this is definitely more like an ad buy for them than it is going out and doing it. Like, look, the minute we get a Supreme stamped Voltorb, that's when we know these partnerships have jumped the shark.
I'll
try and get one because I live that hype beast life, but
if I recall correctly, there was a Pokemon collaboration with that brand.
With Supreme?
Wasn't there? Am I misremembering that? I feel like something that I follow had a collaboration.
Oreos just had a thing with Supreme. You could get Supreme Oreos.
Oreo is almost now becoming that brand.
It really is.
In other news, I did finally find some Pokemon Oreos in the wild.
Did you find Pokemon Oreos?
Oh man, I hit the jackpot. I did have to like kind of go out to a more rural area of the state. But you know what? I found it. I haven't opened it yet because like it looks so pretty. I'm like a little bit afraid of like knowing, but I have two.
I was able to get two packs. They're pretty cool. They seem to have been easier to find than the Lady Gaga Oreos, which I guess I should expect. Rankin's it. Last year was Longchamp.
I don't know what that is.
It's another fancy schmancy. Man,
Christian.
Listen, I've got multiple children. Like I cover Pokemon, I cover Dungeons and Dragons. Like I live in Columbus, freaking Ohio. Most days, you know, for the last like 18 months, I can count the number of people I have seen in person on like my limbs.
Yeah.
I don't expect me to know this like stuff.
The only reason I know a bunch of it is just because my Build-A-Bear was on Fifth Avenue in New York City. And so like that's, it was just lined with all of those designer flagship stores. And so it's just like, that's my exposure with it.
I know there was some, Supreme did some sort of like collaboration. Oh, it was Akira. Is that what it is? That was like 2017. Sense. That was really that was old. I don't know. I see the Oreos. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I'm just embarrassing myself with all the kids who watch this. They're all like, Christian, you old man, you don't know anything about high fashion. The answer is I've never known Jack about high fashion.
All right, well, let's move on to the next story. Everyone loves a good heist story. And in this case, a bunch of Pokemon cards were stolen in a van heist.
Yeah, no, it was somebody drove a van into, let me pull up the exact story because I want to make sure I get the details right. It was a Dutch toy shop that basically a van rammed into one of this toy store's locations, you know, and took away a bunch of Legos and Pokemon cards. And, you know, I mean, I have no words for this. This is just, you know, straight up, we are going to drive, you know, they drove a van into a building and stole a bunch of Pokemon cards and Legos. It's like, I mean, for one thing, I think that's, you know, is it really that easy to get Pokemon cards and Legos?
Sell the rights. Make a movie.
Like, I mean,
sell the rights.
This is not exactly Ocean's 11, Jim.
Yeah, you know, that's not selling that.
That's I want to know, but here's the thing. You know that there's got to be some weird black market afterlife that these things had or would have had had they not, you know. Gotten caught. Look, Legos are no joke. Legos are, that's plastic gold.
I mean, listen, this is only a big story because it's the Netherlands and they don't have crime in the Netherlands. This is probably, you know, the biggest crime to have happened in the Netherlands in the last decade. I apologize, Pokemon listeners.
All of the mixings for a great movie. Netflix will buy it.
Netflix will buy anything. I mean, you listen to our discussion last week for more information about that.
All right. Well, let's keep moving on because we have more trading card game news of the less criminal variety. Look, this is an opportunity that does not come around. Like at all. But you have the possibility to get your artwork on a trading card, a Pokemon trading card. That's a big deal.
It is. This is a pretty cool one.
It's probably going to be a Charizard. The winning one's going to be a Charizard. And it's one of, either is, that or a Pikachu.
Yeah.
That is one of the options. So people can choose. So basically, since 2019, I think they've like reopened the illustration contest. This is kind of a modern thing. It was only open to Japanese participants for the last few years. But for the coming year, it is open to fans of the U.S. for the first time. Unfortunately, if you do not live in the U.S. and or Japan, you cannot participate. So I am sorry. Because I know we have a lot of international listeners, so sorry you can't play.
Sorry, Shay Luckman, you're out of luck here.
The prompt is drawing a moment in a Pokemon's daily life, and they can choose from eight Pokemon. Eight different Pokemon are your options. They include Bulbasaur, Charizard, Pikachu, Arcanine, Galarian Rapidash, Scizor, Greninja, and Cramorant, which is a pretty eclectic. Bulbasaur, okay. Charizard, Pikachu, Arcanine, Galarian Rapidash, Scizor, Greninja, Cramorant. And okay, so well, we're.
But here's what I want to know, though. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No.
Question for the three of us: If we all had very good art skills, what would you pick?
I would probably do, and this would surprise people, I would probably do like Greninja, and he's probably like pulling out of his tongue, like, you know, his giant tongue, and like, you know, trying to figure out the right way of like properly wrapping it around his neck to look fashionable.
I was not expecting that answer at all. I thought you were going to just say something lame like Bulbasaur planting a vegetable garden.
I mean, why would Bulbasaur plant a vegetable garden? I mean, that doesn't really make any sense.
Right. Anyway, Megan, what would you pick?
And I mean, practically speaking, given the prompt, I would want to do like Charizard or something, like barbecuing food, because that just sounds like adorable with his little fire and having like a little chef's hat in between his horns. Like that would just be really cute. But for my brand, I have to say Glareon, Ponyta, or Rapidash. And I'm not sure what I would have them do, but I would probably have them be on like a runway modeling Pokemon clothes. Maybe it could be Longchamp or, you know, Balenciaga. We just talked about all those brands. You know, I feel like in the Pokemon world, I mean, and it's not explored as much as it should be. I own dozens of shirts for my cats because they're weird and they like to wear shirts. So you can only imagine the kind of Pokemon luxury brand clothing that exists in this universe that we have never explored. That's what Rapidash would be doing.
Mine would be Pikachu holding Pokedexes over his red circles, charging them. Like you would do with an iPhone. He'd just be just holding them up and walking around charging Ash's Pokedex.
I would.
Adorable. It's like one of those charging pads you could use these.
Like days. A charging pad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But for Pokedexes.
I really like the theme of this one, like a moment in a Pokemon's life. Like I would love to see like Salaryman, Scizor, sitting in Tokyo traffic, you know, chomped on, you know, the 10 and 2, just looking disinterested, bored, contemplating if, you know, really this is worth it. You know, like,
you know, somebody is going to do artwork of Scizor, like, dressed as a lumberjack, like full on lumberjack-esque, because he's out there like cutting down trees for whatever industry out there. And he's just, they're just going to do like a weird logging makeover, and it's going to get really uncomfortable for a lot of the fandom really quickly.
I mean, uncomfortable or comfortable?
Uncomfortable, absolutely. I mean, for me, I don't know about for you, Hover. I don't know what you do in your spare time, but for me, I don't know how that would... you know, I don't know if I necessarily want a Pokemon card of that.
What, a Scizor, you know, wearing...
Unless Bidoof is also in the Pokemon card as a cameo. In which case, somebody draw that for me.
Shocked, Bidoof not an option.
Because Bidoof is... They want to put good Pokemon cards out there. Like, I love Bidoof, but have we ever gotten a good Bidoof card?
This would be Bidoof's chance.
I mean, not really.
That's fair.
Yeah, anyway. But illustration contest. And they're giving away.
If only I could draw.
I know. They're giving away cash prizes, too. So, I mean, there's a bit of money that's getting chucked around here. I think the grand prize winner gets $5,000. First runner-up, there's going to be two first runner-ups. One from Japan, one from the U.S. They're getting $3,000. Some other runner-ups are getting $1,000, and then they're giving away 15 judges awards with $500. So, you know, a little bit of cash getting chucked around here.
I think cool opportunity. I mean, like, look, very few people outside of like the illustrators who actually make the cards can say I have illustrated a Pokemon card. I mean, talk about humble brag.
No,
that's not even a humble brag. That is just like a grandiose brag. You tell everyone
I won this contest, I would print it on a shirt and just wear it all the time and say, "Oh hey, what you doing? Want to know something cool? I designed a Pokemon card. What?"
Like I would legitimately probably laminate one, just keep it in my wallet. I mean, show it to, like basically, like, you know, sometimes in wallets, people have photos of their kids, their wives, their family, their husbands. I'll just be like, nope, Pokemon card. This is me. This is all you need to know.
Have you guys ever seen like the winners of the original Pokemon illustration contest?
Oh, yes. No.
I'm gonna put these in the Slack here really quick. So you guys can take a quick look at it, and maybe also we can like get it up on the video.
Oh my gosh, yes, I think I have seen these. Right. They were done by like 6-year olds.
Yeah, and this is why these Pokemon, you know, so if you are not like aware, you know, there's a long history of the Pokemon illustration contest. The stupid Snorlax, like the funniest one did not come up. Give me a second. There we go. So there's like a long history of illustration contests in the Pokemon trading card game. I might have put these in the wrong one. I totally did. I put them in the right one. You know, this goes back to like the earliest days of the Pokemon trading card game. And the first ones were literally kids' drawings of Pokemon, where there's like a Snorlax that I swear to God was drawn by a 6-year old. like Poliwrath. Yeah, there they are. There's Poliwrath. We've got, you know, there's a Mr. Mime and there's a Snorlax. And they were given the Pokemon Illustrator promotional card to signify their victory in this contest. That one's actually pretty good for, you know, being a kid's drawing.
Snyder cut Mr. Mime.
And, you know, but like when you realize that the original Pokemon, there's the Snorlax, which is just absolutely
love it.
Just absolutely amazing. And so when you realize, like, why is the Pokemon Illustrator card? Because they used to give out these, like, rare promo cards for winning contests and stuff, like, all the time. It's because they gave these cards out to literal children. Like, actual children. But, you know, they've been doing these for a long time. I mean, you know, I think, in the English, there was a Wizards of the Coast back in 2002 did an English one where it was a Snorlax. So they've done these for a while. Some of the art's really good. I highly recommend that you go out and find them.
You know what the dark side of this story is going to be, though, right?
What?
Like, because there is such a theme to this, like it's going to show up in the anime or a movie somewhere, and someone's going to be like, "Hey, that's mine. I came up with that idea."
Well, probably. Well, they, I mean, they
and
did.
And then they will see no money for it.
Because they have been
paid work for hire.
They did a Coco Pokemon illustration contest where it was basically, I think that it had to be of like the same form because it's all the winning entries are of Coco reaching for like the vine. And then, I think you had to use Coco, like, you know, that was in there and you did the background. But you know, just another interesting cool thing.
Yeah.
Pokemon illustration contest.
Stuff like this. That's fun. All right, we're gonna have one more quick little tidbit before we take a break. The Pokemon 25th anniversary album featuring Katy Perry and Post Malone and more.
And Lil Yachty is in it.
Lil Yachty is in it.
You know, that was like the big like additional like new name that like came out of it. Like, you know, like that was the one that they were saving back for the release of this. It comes out next month. I can't remember if it's October 7th or October 15th.
I lied. All right. We got the album art.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Megan,
there's actually a good question came up in the chat from Seeds Luge. Does the TCG exist in the anime? Is the trading card game, like, can you play it? Like, do the people in that world play it?
Yeah, so it's never really been mentioned before in the anime specifically. We know that there are like card games, you know, board game-esque kind of like family things that happen in the anime, but we've never specifically had anybody or any person mention the Pokemon trading card game. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a rock they haven't overturned and could still be used.
Well, we know
don't
it existed.
Don't pull on Yu-Gi-Oh with it.
We know it existed in the ancient times of the Pokemon world. Correct. Because the ancient Mew card, they literally found that in the first or second
movie. Right. Right.
Right. But in modern day, it seems like they're just like, oh, it's a relic. They haven't kind of reborn it, I feel like, for that we've seen so far. Really, we really just have kind of like the ancient artifacts of the game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, literally, that sets up Yu-Gi-Oh. We have the ancient cards. We have the Millennium Puzzle.
Give me Pokemon Yu-Gi-Oh. That's what I need.
Like, we don't even have to like do like virtual reality AR monster. They're literally like, come on, give me Yu-Gi-Oh Pokemon mechanics. Like,
my favorite thing about Yu-Gi-Oh was the fact that the Yu-Gi-Oh card game, like the in-universe explanation is, we found these ancient cards and we've decided to reproduce them on a mass scale. Surely nothing bad will happen. Like, we found these ancient cards in a pharaoh's tomb.
Look, I will not put it past Elon Musk to create a Kaiba Core kind of scenario where we start getting dual discs or dual whatever those things were called.
Don't give him any ideas. We need him to shoot himself off into space.
Look, there was nothing as much as I love Pokemon, and as a kid wanted nothing more than for like Pokemon to be like real, right? Like real life Pokemon. The other thing that I really wanted to be real was like Yu-Gi-Oh card battling without like the sending people to, you know, the soul realm basically, but just like stadium level people there, holographics, all of that stuff just happening. And like, I guarantee, like, we have to only be like maybe 20 years away from that.
Oh, we are getting, I mean, people are already on, you know, what VR and AR platforms there are doing virtual reality, Yu-Gi-Oh! Promo, like, you know, little things like that. And it's so cool. So, Hopper wants to shoot him into space, but Elon Musk would throw some tweets behind it. I'm sure somebody would raise money to do it.
Oh, man. If we got, look, I've got an Oculus Quest, and man, I would play the hell out of a Pokemon game or a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game on that thing, because that would be incredible.
There's been some like cool, like, I remember a couple years ago, like, they keep trying to make like tabletop like VR like a thing for like D&D and stuff like that. So like, you put the QR code on like the table instead of like an actual miniature or a figure or something like that. And, you know, they pop up in like 3D, and like, I feel like that has legs. And like, now the new one is, you know, everyone puts on their like Oculuses and there's like a tabletop that's in front of them. So I we're probably kind of close to that. I don't know. Like, as much as
give it to me.
I love card games. Like, absolutely love card games. Like, I'll play card games all day long.
I play so much virtual poker, it's not even funny.
I find it absolutely boring to watch. Like, I think that's like the real big disconnect with Yu-Gi-Oh! Imagining thousands of people wanting to watch a Yu-Gi-Oh! Card game, like,
because I think like that's the whole other part of this. You need to have a personality to do this, right? Like, you need there are like the people who like play this stuff, like, generally at tables, there's almost no talking, and they just, you know, drop their cards, move along, and like, that's it. Like, this needs to be big stadium feel, and there's trash talking. And that's the thing that Yu-Gi-Oh got right. There was so much trash talk on that show.
I mean, it wasn't just trash talking.
I mean, a lot of it was like, I'm going to destroy you and send your soul to the,
like, the Netherlands. I literally murdered your grandfather. His soul is in this television. If you want him back, come to the tournament death trap that I have devised. Like, I mean, I would watch that. Yeah, sure.
But like, you know. But like, how cool would it be even just to play something like Go or even like Arceus Legends, right? In a first person view on a headset and just boom, go, right? Like, that would be a lot of fun. We just need to get it anyway. Give me some Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! VR games. That's all I ask for. I just want, come on, like, just seeing Blue Eyes White Dragon just like standing, like, you know, just towering over people and blasting stuff. So great. Anyway, we got to take a break. This isn't a Yu-Gi-Oh show. That'll be our next show that we start. When we come back, we're going to talk about a digital trading card game, because that's the news that came out today. And then we'll talk about Pokemon Unite coming up. We'll see you in 60 seconds.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Jim?
Yeah. Oh, and we're back. Sorry.
I was waiting to see how long it would take.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
A little bit of an issue on my end, I think, but I think we're back. Anyway. Christian, why don't you go through the trading card game news we got this morning? Just hours ago. An hour ago.
Finally, Pokemon trading card game comes to mobile devices. We're finally getting Pokemon Trading Card Game Live, which is the mobile app version of the Pokemon Trading Card Game. It's basically an upgraded version of Pokemon Trading Card Game Online, only they are, you know, actually supporting it. We are getting some cool stuff that's coming out of it. You know, so basically, if you've never done, like, suppose, like, let's talk from the start. If you've never played the Pokemon Trading Card Game Online, you know, you get a card, you get the little code in the back of every, you know, physical booster pack you get, that will stay the same. Instead of going to online, it will now go to this app, so you can scan it and you'll get your cards. You'll get a free booster pack in this thing. So it's a free to play app. They're going to introduce a battle pass, which might be free to play. I'm sure there'll be like a combination of free and premium. They're going to have a premium pass. Let's see here. They're going to include both standard and ranked play, which they didn't have a ranked ladder in Pokemon Trading Card Game Online, I believe. I haven't done online in like years because they basically stopped supporting it. And also, like, it looked like something that they made in 2016 because it was. And then they didn't do anything with it from then because they were developing this app. So it's going to be available on, you know, Mac and PC, as well as, you know, Android and Mac devices. I'm trying to think what else. Initially, they're only going to support standard play, which means it's the rotation of the last 2 years worth of sets. Eventually, they're going to expand it into expanded format with the ability of going all the way back to black and white. Pika Trainer 99 asks, do you have to start from scratch or does your collection carry over? As long as you log in with your Trainers Club account that you have attached to Pokemon Trading Card Game Online, the collection will carry over. I'm trying to think what else.
I'm actually a little bit shocked, and I think Zenpai kind of beat me to it, that there actually isn't a Switch port for this.
I'm guessing there will be eventually.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. This is for the last like year in terms of like sheer sales, Pokemon trading card game has like eaten Magic, you know, the Gathering's lunch and like physical card sales. And part of that is just like a demand thing. Like, you know, Magic has not had the same supply line issues that the Pokemon trading card game has. Like, I don't know, in the trade, the trade sales seem to indicate that Pokemon is, a hotter card game than Magic right now. But a part of that has been because Magic has like these like really robust, has a lot of robust like in-store stuff that obviously you can't do right now. And also Magic Arena came out, and Magic Arena is basically a way to play Magic online. And it works basically the same as this is going to work out, where, you get booster packs, you add to your collection online. You can only get a limited number of cards. Like, you can only have 4 copies of a Pokemon card in, this new app, because you only need 4 cards in a deck. I'm excited. We knew this was coming for a little while now because it got leaked, a few weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, we talked about it.
But this is, I've been calling for this. They've needed this for a while. I mean, Magic Arena was a game changer for Magic the Gathering. Like, their physical sales are not going well, but like Hasbro, is like the golden goose Magic Arena is. And it's going to be the golden goose for Pokemon. Even if they do not have as robust of a, like, sales, this is going to be a game made for kids. I don't think that they're going to be like pushing the booster packs on, like, they're going to make the booster packs.
That's going to be a question, because you play a lot of Magic. Does Magic, do they do like rare cards?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That, so like
theoretically, but like, is there a marketplace?
Digital market, like an in-person marketplace. There is, but not as that marketplace has tanked, because right now there's no point of having an in-person deck.
Well, no, but I mean, digitally, is there like
there's Magic, no digital marketplace.
If you have a rare, a quote rare digital Magic card, can you?
No, and sell? You're not going to be able to have that ability in this new app either. Pokemon Trading Card Game Live will not have the ability to trade Pokemon cards.
Yes.
So Jim will not be able to monetize this.
It's not going to be out there.
I think there's trading, because there's trading in the existing in the old app. Going to be trading in this one?
There will not be trading in the new one. At least not initially. They specifically said trading will not be in this one. But that might, like, I like I said, it's been years since I've done Pokemon trading card game online, so I don't remember like if it was possible for, like, I don't, can you, could you pay for booster packs on there and stuff like that?
You can. There is, you it's like Fortnite in the sense where you buy a currency and then use that currency
for
booster packs. So like, that's a guy, and I only know do it because my kid likes to do the digital openings, basically.
Okay.
Like, she doesn't, like, she cares about the physical cards, but she's like, hey, can we open some packs? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then she just likes the animations, basically. But you could also, like, you can trade trade booster packs. Yeah. See, colors. And yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this one grows, because I think, like I said, I mean, look, there's probably going to be a market for this stuff. Like, it's a just like it, I hesitate to call these NFTs, right? Because it evolved to NFTs because there's no, blockchain thing associated with it. But I think these are where digital cards are going. I think it's going to happen. I think it'll happen still on a small scale for right now, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. It's going to be very interesting.
The issue specifically with Pokemon doing like the digital stuff. Let's be real. Like, people are going to sell accounts on here. People are going to do the churn and sell accounts and all that stuff. That is how people initially are going to go and do it. And when you get excess cards, so like, let's say you have like 4 like Bidoofs or something like that converts into a currency that you can use to buy cards that you don't have. Yeah. So that's, that all converts over. So I don't think they're doing like a wild card system like they do in Magic Arena. I think it's just basically like when you have so many common cards, you know,
you can converting turn them into
But the thing is, I don't think that, you know, there's never going to be like an official digital marketplace for Pokemon trading card game online or in Pokemon trading card game live, because I'm sure there will be a way, but you know, the European regulations are super strict about these sort of things. Like this is something that's marketed towards children, and therefore there are things that they cannot legally do when it comes to digital apps, specifically in Europe. So until they figure out a workaround around that, we're not going to get any of that stuff. And I think that's probably the reason why there's not trading, because it's very specifically apps, I believe. Like, you know, like apps purchases and all that stuff are really strictly regulated.
That actually makes sense, because like you said, like the current version of the digital game is not available on an app, but so anyway, like I said, look, this is a thing that we have been calling for a really long time. We've been asking, you know, wanting a revamp. I think this is another, like, Battle Academy is a great tool for, you know, is a great physical tool to get, you know, to bring in, you know, new audience to the games. A revamped version of this what has increasingly become very digital heavy landscape is going to do that as well. And like the hope always is, right, that like one will convert the other, convert someone to the other, right? Like digital would convert someone to potentially go out and buy some physical cards, or the physical card buyers would potentially try out some of the digital stuff. So hopefully there is some of that kind of cross-pollinization. Obviously you don't really see it that much in Magic, but Magic has always been an older skewed game anyway.
Well, and with Magic Arena, you know, the thing that Magic Arena does really well is it really caters to a demographic that doesn't want to go out to the game stores and do Friday Night Magic and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, because no one wants to like go to their first thing, look like a chump, not necessarily know how to play or whatever, and, you know, and just kind of feel awkward there. Right. Like this, you can learn from home, get some skills up, and then hopefully when this stuff opens, like that may be the interesting thing, right? Magic Beyond, or whatever the Magic thing is called, really bloomed in this pandemic era. It'll be interesting to see, like, if a bunch of people who may have gotten into Magic this way learn, like, and just like craft, you know, honed their skill or whatever, that like once stuff starts opening back up again, like if that helps the in-person market, right? Because like people just have the time and the ability to learn at home and practice and, you know, and battle and do all that, then who knows? We'll see. Anyway. All right, let's move on to Pokemon Unite, coming out to mobile.
This week.
You have to do something very, very important, though.
So if you want to do crossplay, when you start the mobile version, you need to log in to either your Nintendo account or your Pokemon Trainer Club account that is linked to your Switch version. That will allow you to have the same account on both platforms. If you don't do it that way, you'll have to delete your app and re-download the app in order to get that set up correctly.
It's just so backwards.
It's kind of silly. I'm not gonna lie. So
backwards. Like, it's just like,
but are we surprised? I mean, are we really surprised?
I mean, no. And that's the saddest part, Megan. That's the saddest part. Here's the thing. I feel like Pokemon Unite popularity has dipped a little bit over the last, you know, couple of weeks. Will this reignite the flame, or will this just kind of give it a small bump and keep it kind of status quo?
If it doesn't do well, things bode very poorly for Pokemon Unite, I feel, because I feel like this mobile aspect is what makes it the most accessible. If that doesn't keep it going forward, it's going to have a very niche audience.
We'll see
how that works.
Pokemon Unite, I feel, has finally kind of like run into that wall of people have done just about everything they can do in Pokemon Unite. Like, you know, like people have now have the Pokemon they want to have. People, you know, their current game mode is the current game mode. And, you know, like League of Legends only has one map.
Yeah. You know,
So, you know, this is not like that unusual, but, you know, League of Legends has like a roster of like 1,500.
There's a lot of heroes,
you know, and Pokemon has like 23, and they're releasing more. You know, they're releasing more every week. And, you know, but the other thing is with Pokemon Unite that we haven't really seen yet, is, you know, there's, and part of this is pandemic, you know, there's no tournaments.
There's no tournaments.
We have no competitive support or anything like that. Like, I think there's been a couple of like, you know, unofficial tournaments or something like that, but you know, there's I think they only just, if I recall correctly, the most recent update finally added like a spectator mode.
Yep.
So it's coming. It's just, it's moving pretty slow.
That's my biggest concern. I feel like that they are not able to keep up with the demand to at least get enough Pokemon in that feels like they can just like start, instead of adding more Pokemon, just add more holowares or whatever. Mm-hmm. And but like the core group of, you know, Pokemon you can select is still relatively small, all things considered, right? And so I still really enjoy the game. Like, I love, it's a great pastime, you know, game for me to play. I still have a lot of fun with it. You know, I'm in that phase where I'm trying out a bunch of the other Pokemon that I don't normally play, just to see if like I can get better at a style or learn more about a style or really learn how to like defend better, or, you know, how to go after other Pokemon that, you know, against using the ones that I like. Right. But I find myself a lot being like, okay, I can only play Ninetales and Gengar and Blastoise so much that, like,
yeah,
then it becomes a point where it's like, I don't think I'll ever go pro. I don't think because I think that's a game where you have to grind to get better at, and to really understand it. And I don't have that. I don't have that time. I don't necessarily have that desire. I would play casually competitively, but you know, I don't think I'd go pro. I love watching it still, right? Like, I still watch a lot of people play it. But even then, a lot of, like, you know, the streamers who went big in on it in the beginning is, you know, have started to dip from it a little bit, just citing a lot of the same stuff. They're just, the matches, I think the biggest difference is the League of Legends map is a bit bigger. And so I think that's, you know, so there's, those games naturally last a little bit longer and are a bit more like, there's just a bit more to do. But man, I hope that they start adding to it, you know, pretty quickly. Like, there's another, a whole bunch of other kind of like mobile games that, like, you know, I have a long history of that, right? I'll get real, real big into a game, play it hard for 2 weeks, and then be like, oh, I'm done. Yep. So far, Unite has kept my interest. You know what? It's been a month now since it's been out, right? But like, I was trying out that new Marvel game, right? Like Future Revolution or whatever. And like, they only give you basically like 6 or 7 characters to choose from. And once you get what you want there, you're just like, ah, okay, I'm done.
Yeah, it's like I said, like,
I think mobile will be a game changer, though. I mean, look, when they added mobile to Fortnite, it was a huge, huge game changer for that game.
I mean, it has to be a game changer. Let's be real. Long-term strategy, if it's not a game changer, then I feel like the team behind Unite really kind of has to go back to the drawing board and figure out a better way to stay timely with trends, because this kind of game necessitates very quick additions to the game, fast accession. You can't let people get bored, because there's so many other games out there willing to eat up their spot. So that's just kind of what it looks like. It's a little bit different for, you know, what Pokemon is used to.
I mean, look,
and it's going to be trial and error.
Pokemon Masters has defied all the odds and is still around and still putting out updates, and people apparently still play that game. So if there's hope for Pokemon Masters, there's more than enough hope for Pokemon Unite.
That's true.
Right.
Because Pokemon Masters is terrible.
It's gotten better.
I'm going to be totally honest. I can't comment on it. I did not. I haven't played it since 2 weeks after it launched. It's just, again, and that's the thing about mobile. First impressions are going to be so important with this. If the mobile launch doesn't go right, like, you know, Pokemon Masters, there are a lot of people, whether right or wrong, like myself, that aren't going to touch it again just because it's soured and jaded their perspective. So I have my fingers crossed, and I guess we're going to find out one way or another how it goes.
I'm hopeful. All right, Christian, give us the Pokemon fact of the week.
So we are continuing our trek across the Johto Pokedex, and this week we are to the Hoppip family. Hoppip is a pretty boring Pokemon, and not shockingly, so are the Pokedex entries for this family. there is like one little kind of interesting tidbit that, you know, I thought was kind of interesting. Skiploom, the middle evolution, people actually use it as a thermometer of sorts because its flower will open to a degree, you know, the amount that its flower on its head opens is based on what temperature it is. So the warmer it gets, the more its flower opens. And so people use it as a thermometer, which is neat. And that's...
It's sad when that's the neatest thing about you, though.
I mean, it's like Jumpluff is like the only other weird thing that I got. And this one, I mean, it makes sense because you look at Jumpluff and it's got a bunch of the, you know, cotton spores, like it's a dandelion. And it talks about how, like, you know, Jumpluff will go and, you know, release its spores. Like the Fire Red has the one that the only time it is actually mentioned. Oh, it's Soul Silver. It drifts on seasonal winds and spreads its cotton like spores all over the world to make more offspring. I mean, I thought that, you know, Pokemon only can make offspring with, you know, with Pokemon eggs and dittos.
It's
and
a weed.
Like that. So I've got a weed. I've got some questions, you know, about Pokemon breeding, because, you know, Jumpluff is apparently, you know, shooting around its seed everywhere, which, you know, that makes sense. Let's be
honest, we know Pokemon researchers know next to nothing about the Pokemon. Who's to know if that Pokedex entry is actually correct? Maybe some guy was just like filling things out. He was like, this sounds about right. I don't even know if I've ever seen one of these Pokemon.
That's going to be the big secret in Legends, right? You're just going to find out that they basically just made it up as they go along, and they realized, oh no, we need to, we actually need to probably go out and find these out because.
Well, here's the thing. So if you're making the Pokedex, and this is a little bit of a tangent, I would love the chance to be able to write my own Pokedex entries in Legends. Like, I want that. I want that shot. Or like Pokemon gives me 3 chances and I can make my own Pokedex entries. Like, that's what I want. That's what I want.
Just looking at a Hoppip though, like, it looks like something I'd pull out of my yard in the backyard.
It's a weed Pokemon. I mean, it's a dandelion. Weed. It's literally a dandelion. It's a dandelion that fights. coincidentally enough, you know, on a total complete side rant, speaking of dandelions,
the scourge of every region.
You know, there's a new D&D adventure that's coming out tomorrow, and one of like the breakout NPCs of that is an actual like talking dandelion that's like a knight that, you know, is like in love with a bumblebee, and it is like the best freaking NPC that I've seen in years. Like, it was just like A+. Anyways, but yeah, Hoppip, it's a dandelion, and apparently it spreads its seed around, just shooting off seeds left and right. Just a weird, weird freaking Pokemon that, you know, brings into question everything we know about Pokemon breeding.
There you have it.
And there you have it. Well, thank you again, everyone, for joining us on another episode of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared. We thoroughly had a lot of fun, a lot of great discussion this week. If you want to continue that discussion, you can follow us at Pokemon Pod CB is where the Pokemon podcast account is. Otherwise, you can find me at Jim Viscardi, Megan Peter CB, and Seahoffer CBus for Megan and Christian. We do the show, like I said, once a week, every Monday, live if you want to join us. You don't have to. You still just get You get the same experience as if you were to listen to it on a Tuesday. Some people like to come live, hang out in the chat, and then listen to it again the next day to see if they missed anything while they were hanging out. However you want to listen to this show, you do you. But we appreciate you for listening and telling your friends about it. If you want to leave a review on iTunes, 5-star reviews help us out a lot. So head on over to iTunes, leave us a review. If we read it on the air, we'll send you stuff. Hopefully we'll get back into the office, I think, within the next month or so, but we'll see. Who knows at this point, basically. Other than that, I think that's all we've got for this week. Pokemon Unite is coming. So look, maybe we should just start a league, a wild podcast league for Pokemon Unite.
Jim, is this a cry for help because you want people to play with?
No, look, games are more fun with people, you know. I can't tell you how many times, like, I've got my Xbox right behind me and I just look, I won't play Fortnite unless I can get someone, to play with, because it's just not fun playing by yourself. I am a social multiplayer, online multiplayer kind of gamer. That is just how I am. But anyway, we did get a few requests. We're gonna have to do it this week. And so, Christian, I'm gonna put you in charge of it. It's on the show. It's recorded. So now people are gonna hold you accountable to it. People have been asking for our Pokemon Go trainer codes. Christian, Megan, and I will send you ours, and we'll make sure you tweet them out for us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I can do that.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, that does enough for the end of our show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next week.